1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to read 7 through 11, verses 7 through 11 in 1 Peter 4. I just want to start off by saying I appreciate you being here this morning. It's easier to teach and preach when there's somebody here. I thought about that before when preacher had to go with COVID and there's nobody here. I was thinking, well, he's just kind of excited and amped up when there's nobody here and there's somebody here. I've tried that just by myself in the backyard, and it's not like that. It's like, I preached to my dog one time. I got excited, but they just walked off. I was like, oh, I see how you're doing. Okay. So it's a blessing. But nonetheless, I appreciate you being here, just still staying by the stuff, still trying to get something from the Lord, just being faithful. Amen. So in 1 Peter 4, look in verse 7 and read that, and then we'll pray and we'll get into it. 1 Peter 4, 7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we want to come to you and just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for a beautiful day outside. And Lord, even though it's beautiful, thank you for the opportunity to be in church today. And Lord, I can't honestly say there would be a place I'd rather be and doing in something I would rather be doing than having your book opened and trying to just feed your people. Lord, what an opportunity, Lord, for us to see you more clearly this morning. And Lord, I'd ask that you'd wipe away the things of the week, Lord, and things out of our heart that might be a distraction, not only for the service, but Lord, for the main preaching time a little later. God, and I pray that this might even prepare the heart for that. Lord, and I pray that you might get the glory from it. Lord, and I pray that you might get the dominion and the praise, just like the passage said. And Lord, I pray that you'd give me the words. I pray you'd give me the liberty to say the things you'd have me to say. Lord, give me the right spirit to say it in. Lord, bring things to my remembrance, Lord, that I may have forgotten. And Lord, I pray that you would use this time. Pray that you'd be with the people. Lord, I pray you'd feed them. Lord, I pray you'd establish them. Lord, and I pray that you would just come back and get us today, Lord. Lord, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 10 and 11 there, it talks about being a minister. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. And then verse of 11 also, if any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. So we're going to be going in that theme this morning, that vein of a minister. You can title it however, something about a minister, a ministering people, how to be a minister. Whatever you title it, put minister in it, okay? I'm not real good at titles. I'm real good at just writing a bunch of stuff down, though. And it can't make sense to anybody. I gave somebody my notes a while ago. I said, you read over it. And they're like, well, I don't understand it. I said, makes two of us. All right. So we're going to be looking at that this morning. And that's such a broad and a vast subject to minister to someone. So obviously I'm not going to have an opportunity to just ring it out. But I'll do my best as the Lord has showed me some things in the Bible. And as an introduction, we won't turn there. But over in Exodus 38, you have an Old Testament view of what a minister is. You had a specific person and you had a specific people group, and they were going to minister at a specific place. And they had positions. You had all those P's over there in Exodus 38. And it was very specific. Now even think about that, because now we're in a New Testament. We're in a local church. Everybody in here has an opportunity to minister to someone. Might not even be in this capacity. But in your life, in your job, at your school, at your work, with your family, you can minister to someone in some capacity, if you're willing to. So there's a crux of it whole out there. Is being a minister, it's a heart issue. And we'll get into it. I just want to set the stage, if you will, that you don't have to be at a specific place, even though this is the place that God's given you. Amen. In the Old Testament, you had to be the Levite. You had to be of that specific tribe to be able to be what they called a minister, to be able to minister to the Lord, to be able to do those things as your position's sake. But thank God for the New Testament, you're all priests now, amen? Let me rephrase that. That's what we're supposed to be. We're all supposed to make spiritual sacrifices, not only for self, but for others. And that's what prayer and petitions and those things are. We're stuck on peas for a second there. And that's what it is. That's what it is and should be. But I guess the problem is sometimes that's not what it is, because we get our view stuck on self. I mean, even in the Laodicean church, it's all about self. It's all about us. It's all about turn the reflection from the Lord and turn the reflection where we just see ourselves in the mirror all the time. And it's self-serving, if you will. Amen. So anyway, before I get off and get way out of whack here, in verse 10 and verse 11 of 1 Peter 4, we want to look at the model minister, the model minister. So obviously, in the New Testament sense, a person has to be saved, as every man hath received the gift. I could ask you the simple question, have you received that free gift this morning? And there ought to be a resounding amen that free gift of salvation, that free gift of grace was given to you, and you received it freely. Amen. Over there in Romans 5 says you have to receive it, you have to take it and be a partaker of it. I'm not going to expound on all this stuff because there's just too much to look at. But a person has to be saved, obviously, to be even a minister of spiritual things. Now think about that just for a second. There are people and organizations all over the world that do good things. I mean, there's hospitals, there's all kinds of, but they're physically minded. I can think of a whole bunch of things coming through my mind right now. People digging wells for somebody in different countries and food services. And those are all physical things that are taken care of. But the spiritual need is just thrown out the window. And you say, why is that? Well, because they're probably not even saved. Some of them are, but that's not the main faculty or the main role they're after. They're after the physical, the carnal, if you will. And so I'm talking about being a spiritual minister of spiritual things. It says that the spiritual man receiveth not the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. The new man doesn't receive, the old man doesn't have those things. He doesn't have that understanding. So he wouldn't even understand the aspect of there being a physical and a spiritual ministering, if you will. Now, obviously, we know that you can even minister in carnal things, but it'd be in the spiritual mindset. The simple fact would be the Roof family was here the other day. I love that. I loved it. Loved seeing the slideshow. It broke me down. I was just crying about the whole thing. And so we gave him a little love offering. And I thought about that and just thinking, you know, that's ministering to somebody with a carnal need. And then I'm sure some of you, as we did that day, prayed for them. And so now you're ministering to them in a spiritual need. And so you, being a spiritual mindset, were able to do two different things in two different ways, but both spiritually had a spiritual ministering behind it. Does that make sense? All right. In verse 10, not only a person has to be saved, because there are counterfeits over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 and 15. The devil has a counterfeiting ministers. They minister to self, and we ain't got time to get into all that. Just ride by a local church somewhere else. It's a non-denominational thing. Amen. Anyway, we ain't going to get on that. I can stay there for a minute. So in verse 10, you got saved people. In verse 10 also, it says, as a good steward. Not only do a person has to be saved to be a spiritual minister, they have to be a good steward. And look what you have to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. We could teach and talk about that for a while this morning. There ought to be in your, when you think about ministering, there ought to be the ideal of the grace that has been bestowed upon you all your life. And in doing so, it should make you not quick to throw somebody down, to try to trample them under feet, if you will, because the Lord's probably been real good to you. Amen. And that little bit of grace has been bestowed upon you. Why don't you just take a little bit of that and just bestow it on somebody else? Amen. That just a little bit. Just a little bit goes a long way on that. We won't get into all that, but just a steward of the manifold of grace. We're just talking about a model minister. In verse 11, it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So therefore you have your speech ought to be a little different. It ought to be salted with grace and salted with that salt, talking about in the Gospels over there. Your speech ought not to be a worldly conversation. Evil communication corrupt good manners, amen. It ought to be just the opposite, whereas your speech ought to try to pull somebody up out of that miry pit, because you speak with the oracles of God, and it's a little different because there's power behind it. There's authority when you say things. Your speech is different. And it goes on, it says, if any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. And you think about that, what is the Lord giving you to do? I don't know. Everybody in here is different. The way you think about things. We should have a unity about the blood and the book and the brethren and all those things. Amen. But what you're able to do physically and what you're able to do spiritually is a little different than me. I have a hard time. I'm like Moses. I have a hard time with my words sometimes. And it is a struggle for me to get up here. I would rather write it out and send it to somebody. I'd rather just write all my notes out and hand it to everybody in here, and then we'll just let somebody else get up here and read it. You know, that's just me. I have a hard time articulating the words because that's just me. However, I do the best I can. Amen. And it's, you know why? Because God gets the glory because I'm not very good at it. Let me rephrase that. I don't think I am very good at it. And so therefore I try to enable the Lord to get all the glory because I don't think I'm good at it. However, you have somebody who's really great at it. You wouldn't even know if they're hardly studied because they're just really good at what they say. Does that make sense? So anyway, a studied person, if any man minister, let him do it as at the ability of God which God giveth. You ought to study the book, and he'll enhance your abilities. I had somebody talking to me the other day, this past week, about the talents and the things that the Lord's given him. I said, which one do you think the Lord would get the more glory out of? I said, hypothetically, he gave you 10 talents of being able to speak. And he only gave you one talent of praying. I said, which one do you think you would get the more glory out of? You're always running your mouth, or you're just trying your best in a closet somewhere where nobody could ever see you. You're just trying to get a hold of God. And he said, well, probably in the praying. I said, well, I don't know which one. He's given you the ability to do so much. And then he's given you the ability to do so little. Well, I said, which one do you focus on the more? I said, don't answer my question. You already know. I can sit on your face. You already know. I said, whichever one that doesn't come natural, you have to work at, why don't you just work at it? I said, the Lord would just get the more glory through it. You know what doesn't come natural sometimes is I enjoy reading, but studying's a whole different ballgame. Amen. And so just studying and getting in that book and digging in it. Just studying. Not leaning on self to know what's going on. When I read the Bible one time completely through, I was like, oh, I made it. All right, what's next? I don't need to read that again. I mean, I thought that, you know, because I'm just me. I thought that, and then I was like, and then the Lord's like, well, why don't you try reading it a second time and see what happens? Okay, all right. Mind blown. And I remember when I started Bible school about 1,000 years ago, I thought, well, I know some things. Man, I know some stuff. When I graduated Bible school, I was like, I don't know anything. Like, well, you got the diploma. I don't know anything. Because the more I learned, the more I realized I didn't know anything. Man, I don't know anything about the Lord. I don't know anything about His attributes. I just try to know Him, but I've been coming to the conclusion I don't know anything. And it's just like my son. You ask him, he acts like he knows something. He don't know anything. He don't know anything. Just ask him. He'll fake it. He's a good faker. He takes after me. He'll fake it real good. But you start digging into it real deep, he don't know what he's talking about. You say, what is that? That's just, we lean to our own understanding a lot of times and just thinking we know what we're talking about. But without taking a deep look in this book, we don't have a clue. We're almost done with the model minister. Look in verse 11. Any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. Why would you do all that? That God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ. Is that the Savior gets the glory. Being a minister. It's not about self, it's about the Savior. It's about Him getting the glory and Him getting the limelight and not about the shining of the light on self, but on the Savior. I guess really that is where the rubber meets the road. Amen. That is where it's difficult because everybody in here at one point in life, whether you've overcome it or still struggling with it, wants the pride. The old man wants the recognition. And if you can't amen that, you're probably still struggling with it. Amen. And so you think about that in that verse right there, just shows you the epitome of a spiritual minister is that the Lord Jesus Christ gets all the credit. He gets all the preeminence. He gets all the praise. He gets everything. And I don't get anything. I mean, you may get the accolades from the people, and at the judgment seat of Christ, God willing, you'll be able to have something to throw back at His feet because He gave you the ability, He gave you the grace, He gave you the strength, He gave you everything to be able to have something and just pass it back down, just throw it back to Him. It's like, you know what, Lord, it's just you. It's just all you. I didn't read verse 12. Because verse 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire of trials, which is to try you," as though some strange things that happen to you. I want you to look in verse 11 real quick, though. You see it starts off with that word, if any man speak. I mean, you have the option not to. Let him speak as the oracles of God, if any man minister. I mean, you have the option not to. However, verse 12 is it's the result of you choosing to. Being a spiritual minister, it is. Verse 12 says, if you choose to do so, well, fiery trials are coming. And that's just part of the package deal, amen? That's just part of the retirement plan. That's part of the 401k thing that you just have to look forward to, that raise that you get from the Lord. Oh, we all like to get a raise, amen? I ain't got one in a while. I need to talk to my boss. You think about that. That's just that raise that you've always been looking for, but it's spiritual raise. Because the Lord can trust you a little bit more. He knows you can handle a little bit more. It says in verse 11, if any man minister him, let him do it. You ever think about that? The Lord lets you do something like that. And you get to choose how you do it in your own might, your own strength, your own ability. Or you allow Him, you let Him use you. And He gives you that ability which you don't think you have. I just talked about it. Me being up here, I don't think I can do it. But He gives me the ability to be up here. Gives me the however that muscle works of your tongue that you don't want to use sometimes. He allows that thing to work, regardless if it stutters or stammers and all those things. And He gets the glory because that muscle works. And I don't even control that thing. Just let it flow. That's a model minister. That person's got to be saved. A good steward of grace. His study. His speech. Not leaning of self. The Savior gets the glory. And in verse 12, it shows the suffering of that minister. You say, what is that? That's just the starting off point. That's just like grade school stuff, man. Realistically, that's just where you start at. Turn over to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. You know, when you first got saved, you would probably witness to a fence post. I mean, I witnessed to my dog. He never got saved. And you'd witness. I remember my brother-in-law witnessed to a turtle on a post. And a guy stopped and wanted to know what he was doing, and he wound up getting led to the Lord. You say, well, how was that? I have no idea. He just wanted to be a goofball because somebody stuck a turtle on the fence post and was witnessing to it. Like, you know, who would do that? But the Lord's just like, you know what, if you want to witness to somebody, I'll give you the opportunity. Hang on a second. But you say, all that we just went over, that model minister, those are things that just, again, we just start doing. And the Lord just allows you to graduate kindergarten and first, second, and third, and fifth, and sixth, and graduate up into high school and college and undergrad and all those things. But the unfortunate thing about being a minister is you never graduate. You're always in school. Until the Lord raptures you out or you taste death. In Matthew chapter 20, I'll show it to you. I won't read it for sake of time, but in Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 25, you know, you have the sons of Zebedee there, and they're asking Jesus Christ, Who's the greatest among us? You think about that. When you walk in, you ever thought about who's the greatest in here? I think about that sometimes. Not greatest, but I think about, I don't know anybody. I mean, I know you. But you ever thought about how somebody could have succeeded in their carnal life, their worldly life, and where they have attained, but you come in here and it's all even at the cross? I think about preacher making a comment one time. He went to a jail and, you know, you have this woman, she's a guard there, and she's just reading him the riot act because he parked in the wrong spot. And he said that the old man's like, "You know who I am?" He said, "I said that to myself." He said, "But I just stood there and took it." It's like, "Well, you know, it's good for me." And he said, I was thinking though, do you know who I am and what I've achieved and the power and authority I have? However, at that place, she had the power and authority. And you think about that. If you could look around and we could have a testimony of what the Lord has allowed you to attain in your position, in your life, and in society, if you will. There's no telling of how it would be amaze you of what people in here have done and are doing. I thought about that before. While I used to do some stuff, the Lord always allowed me to be around the best. And I don't say that like haphazard. They are the best. If somebody was going to call from a corporate, they would call that person that was training me. And like, "Were you the best?" No, I'm at least the second best or lower. He's the best. But the Lord, even in spiritual matters, I'm here, amen, with you. And you're like, "Well, I'm not the best." That says who? Man, I'm not trying to puff you up. The Lord's got you here for a reason. I'm not trying to say you're trying to get you higher than what you esteem you higher than self, amen. But I want you to think about something. The Lord has always allowed me to be around the best. I mean, I think preacher is the best preacher. I mean, I don't care what you say. I think about that. I think about some of the people who come here and they're faithful and they try to do something. They serve in the Lord and they actually know what ministering is, and they could do a much better job than I. Because you've lived it for so long. And now you get to be an example to how to do it for somebody else. You think about that. And so here in the passage, they're trying to figure out who is the greatest among them, which is they're asking the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a silly question. Who's the greatest among us, Lord? Well, it's not you two. Yeah. I wish he would have said that, you know. It's not you two, boys. Who is it? Oh, it's, you know who's the best? It's those guys you've never heard of. It's not those 12. It's the two that's following behind back over there that you don't even know who they are. Who are they? I know who they are. You don't. We'll see them every once in a while. They pass by. They're the best. You guys, you're stinking puffed up with pride. But that's just me, as you know. But in verse 25, it says, "And Jesus called unto them and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Verse 26, but it shall not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." You see right here is the making of a minister in those two verses. Actually, verse 26, 27, 28, we're not going to read 28 yet. It's the making of a minister. You know what I see right there in verse 26 and verse 27 is a self-evaluation. Because you have to look at yourself the way the Lord just talked about you. Amen. Even though you may be great in a worldly, carnal sense, amen? Yeah. I mean, you may have attained a hierarchy that no one else in here might have. However, that has a hill of beans to do with spiritual things. It has zero to do with spiritual things, except you have a greater opportunity because of your position in the world. Does that make sense? He said, just because you have attained to something, that means you need to lower yourself down. There's a verse over in John 3:30. It says something to the effect, I believe it says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And that really is it. That must... I need to push the Lord in front of me and I need to withdraw so everybody sees Him and they don't ever see me. Amen. You know what I see right here in verse 26? It says, "But it shall not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let Him be your minister. If you're great, you don't really want people helping you. Sink that. Let it sink in for just a second. If you think that you're great, you're not going to allow somebody to help you. Long time ago, when I was in Alabama, I had the opportunity to come down here for a jubilee. And I remember I came down here with this high expectation because I knew who some of you were because I could see you from the internet, you know. Never met you, but I just knew who you were. And man, you're all just faithful, just always there. I could hear people amen, and I could see them doing things and standing there. So when I got here, I thought I was somebody. Because I thought I was somebody, even though I was a nothing. Stay with me for a second. And so I had this church and the people on an elevated platform of, if you want to be something, here is who to model yourself after. Okay? Take the accolade. And so when I got here, you know what I was given? Anything I could ever want. I was given this basket. I was given a thank yous. I was given a, if you ever need something, all you've got to do is ask. Doesn't matter. What do you need? Where are you staying at? What do you need us to do? You need us to go do X, X, Y, Z, whatever. And like, I'm just a nothing. But all these great people had condescended them to a low sick to just be able to esteem somebody else higher than them. You say, what is that? That's being a real minister. You got people watching you from all over the world. They don't know you, but they know you. They know you because you're here. They hear you. They see you. They know that you're always faithful. And then one day the Lord grants them the opportunity to come here. You know what you do? You lift them up. You just lift them up. You just put self down because everybody in here has a job, has a family, has stuff they always deal with. Amen?
Amen.
That nobody ever hears about. And so they see you as like they're just a person that's attained. When they come here, all the things they get, the opportunities to see you and you're serving and minister, and they see what a church should be.
Amen.
Now stay with me. I'm in this church now, so stay with me. Because they see you and they see what a minister should be, and they have to have a choice of letting you minister to them or thinking that they can handle it. Because you've already made the decision at that moment that you want to minister to them. You brought yourself down so someone else could be elevated. It is that illustration of the old goat and the young goat on the hillside. Amen. Love that illustration. I've never seen it, and it doesn't make logical sense in a human aspect, but in the spiritual realm, it makes perfect sense. The old goat could have knocked the young punk off at any point in time. But he laid down and let him walk over him to get by.
Amen. Amen.
And you think about that. You say, what is that? That's what ministering is about. But a person has to allow themselves to be ministered to. And you have the opportunity to minister to so many. And you say, well, I don't ever do anything. Oh, that's not true. You just show up. Your faithfulness preaches to others. Don't worry, I'm going to go somewhere with that. But you're just being here speaks volumes about what you've decided to do.
Amen.
Even though you sit in the back row back there.
Amen.
Nailed it. So in verse 26 and 27, you see what it was like to be an Aaron and a Hur. You had to think about that. Moses sitting there, or standing there, excuse me. Or sitting there, whatever. And Joshua's down there fighting a good fight. He's down there doing the best he can. And when Moses, you know the account, when his arms would lower, Joshua would lose. It never says that he asked for help. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't turn it away.
Amen.
When Aaron and Hur came and they just stayed his arms, he never hollered out, I've got it. I've got it. He didn't say anything. I'm sure in his heart, though, he just appreciated them being there. And they were there to the end of the fight. I mean, there's no other thing that Lord allows us to see. And you say, well, what about her? I don't know. Not much said about him after that. But he sure was needful at that time. And in verse 25 of Making of a Minister, you see, excuse me, in verse 28, you see the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to. Oftentimes when life is going well, I don't come to church to get something. I come to try to just be faithful so somebody can just see me being faithful.
Amen.
I said sometimes. Oftentimes that's not the case. I come to just, Lord, I need to get something from you. I need your man from your pulpit to say something that I need to get me through the day.
Yeah.
It says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ in that verse right there set the example of being a minister. He didn't come to be ministered to. He came to minister. And also it says to give his life a ransom. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ did? He was able to pour himself out just so others could take of it. In Zechariah chapter 4, I think it's around verse 12, 11, 12, somewhere right there, it talks about the two anointed ones and they poured that golden oil out of themselves. Talking about Elijah and Moses. Have you ever thought about that? Think about that just for a second. Moses didn't have the most awesomest congregation. He had a bunch of people that thought they were better than him and wanted his position. And he was like, hey man, you know what? If the Lord did this thing, let's go talk to him about it. Because if the Lord doesn't want me in this position, buddy, you can have it. That's Russell theology. And it's like, Lord, no, I'm in this thing. You're my man, not them. I'll take them out of the way. And you know what happened. The earth swallowed them. We think about the millions and the complaining and all the... He missed the promised land because of their murmuring and it finally got to him. And by disobedience, by not believing in faith, he struck the rock. But I honestly can't blame him. I think I'd have struck something way before then. Might not have been a rock. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. 2 million complainers plus. I mean, come on. Like, just don't tell me about it. Go tell somebody else. Oh, Lord, they're complaining again. God just, he said, Lord, don't kill them. I'd have said, Lord, just kill them. Let's start over. You say, what is that? That's Moses just pouring himself out for the people that didn't really care about him. That's the example that the Lord set right there in that verse, right? You just pour yourself out for people that maybe not even care. You know, sometimes you come to church and you hear good preaching or good singing or just maybe quiet time. The Lord just fills you up. Amen. Anybody can attest to that time?
Amen.
Man, just to get shouting good kind of thing.
Amen.
Well, that's your opportunity. Being full now, the Lord will test you how much you're willing to be poured out for somebody else. Because the Lord never missed an opportunity. The Lord Jesus Christ never missed an opportunity to be poured completely out. And then it always marveled me. He always went alone and got with himself, with God Almighty, with the Father, and the Lord just filled him back up. He said, all right, I'm ready to go. Let's go get poured out again for some people that they just want carnal things. They just want me to feed them. They just want me to take care of their needs. They just want me to heal infirmities. And I don't make light of any of that. But it's not very often that you see somebody coming to him asking for a spiritual need to be fixed. He said, I'll just be poured out even though they just want carnal things. I'll just go do it because I know it pleases you.
Yeah.
That's what a minister is.
Yeah.
I mean, you pour yourself out regardless if somebody appreciates it or not. Here's you a perfect illustration. I ask that you get this. Anybody familiar with the Boston Marathon? Amen. I'm not. A bunch of people running in circles. That's what I know about it. Okay? For a long ways. Amen. Here's what I marvel at. Those runners are running, and you'll have stations set up every once in a while of volunteers. You know what that volunteer does? It's that cup of water. If they need it, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Nobody takes it? All right. They go sit down, go clean up, go do whatever. And that runner's running. You know what people come when they do, when they come here? They're running through here looking for that cool drink of water.
Amen.
And you can just hold it out. You need it? You thirsty? You dehydrated? No? Okay. Okay. You say, well, I never get recognized. You know, I tried to look up a volunteer sheet for the Boston Marathon. I could only find one in 2018. And the only thing I found from a volunteer list in 2018 was the people just talking to the reporter. He gave their name. There was four of them at four different stations. There was no other list of anybody else that was there, even though there was a multitude of people.
Sure.
You know what that is? That as a minister, that you should be unrecognized.
Amen.
It shouldn't be about you. It should be about just holding that glass of water out, that cool drink of water from that far country.
Yeah.
Just holding it out as people pass by. Just pouring yourself out because you have your own issues and things to deal with. You have your own families. You have your own problems. You have your own struggles. But don't you think the Lord was struggling through a lot?
Amen.
But He never told anybody.
No.
He told the Father. The Father filled Him up. Son, just go be that drink of water at that woman of the well. And He went there in John chapter 4 and He said, I'm wearied. I'm just got to sit down for a minute. And He sat down and that woman came up. And He never mentioned that He was weary to her.
Amen.
He said, hey, you need a drink of water? Yeah. I'll be your drink of water. Even though I'm weary and tired and wore out.
Yeah.
I'll finish pouring myself out for you just because you need it. That's a minister.
Amen.
That is a real spiritual minister. But the problem is, most people only allow themselves to be poured so far.
Amen.
Because of past experience, hurt. You fill in you. And you'll say, Lord, pour me out until I'm right here. I can't take being poured out all the way because of what happened in the past, what they said, what they did, what I didn't get. The Lord's a rewarder of those who diligently search Him. You don't think that reward is being poured out? You don't think that's a reward? Because not everybody wants to be poured out. You know what I found out about that Boston Marathon? There are millions of spectators and just a handful of ministers holding the bottles of water.
Yeah.
There's just a few, just a handful. Just a handful holding out that water, wanting to ensure somebody could finish the race. There's a whole lot of people watching, though. You know what the difference is? The people handing the water out, they had problems, they had families, they had jobs. The people in the stands had the same, they had the same thing. I'm teaching you, I need to calm down. They had the exact same life. But somebody was just willing to do it. Somebody was willing to say, you know what, I will give more of myself so somebody else can succeed. Rather than, I would just rather come by for the show. It's a heart thing. It really is a heart thing of like, Lord, here I am, use me. Versus, Lord, I'll come see somebody be used. I enjoy good preaching, amen. But I enjoy seeing preacher when he's on fire and like he's preaching like it's his last time. And he's just, man, it's good. But then I got to think about what you're going to do with it. Are you coming for the show or are you going to be like Elisha for 10 years and just water the old man's hands?
Amen.
Where's the recognition in that? Well, the promotion comes way down the road. Like, maybe even happened at the judgment seat of Christ because it never happened here.
Amen.
I don't know. You think about it. Because that's a real minister. It's a real minister. If you will, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And while you're turning there, talking about being a minister, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we see the marks of a minister. The Lord, a long time ago, let me see some things. You know, in Isaiah 14, you have the five I wills of Satan, right? You know, I will ascend. Everybody probably knows that one. And then over there in Luke chapter 12, he allowed me to see the five I wills of a sinner. You know, I will build bigger barns. I will do these things. And then you have in Genesis 12, you have the five I wills of a sovereign God. You know, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. Then you have in Luke, I believe it's John 14, you have the five I wills of the Savior. I will come again, which I like that one. But here in 2 Corinthians 12, you see the five I wills of a saint of God that wants to be a minister. Look in verse 1. It says, chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, verse 1 says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." You think about Paul right there in his trip to heaven, and you think about prior to his trip to heaven, all the things, all the knowledge that the Lord had given him. Now, you can just liken that to studying your Bible. I've never had a vision of God, and I don't want one. I think I'd be on some kind of bad mushroom trip in the pizza place or something. Amen? So if I want the visions and revelations that other people have, it'll be in this book. Amen. That I can gladly see the things they went through, and I can learn from what they learned and what they saw. So Paul basically saying in verse 1, I will, as a minister, as someone who wants to study, is I will study to see the revelations in this book. Even the Lord will give you some things. Amen. Advanced revelation. He gave Dr. Upman all kind of stuff that nobody else should really have. He gave him some things. Wouldn't you call that a revelation? Amen. When you get something that you've never seen, isn't that a revelation? To me it is. Amen. They're like, man, I never saw that. Wonder, how come I never heard that preached? And then all of a sudden next week you hear somebody say it, like, I see what you did there. Okay. All right. Somebody else has seen it, but it was just real good for me when you showed it to me.
Amen.
You ought to just study. Study to show thyself approved. Amen. Verse 5. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. A minister won't glory except in the things that the Lord's putting him through. You think about that. I'm going to glory, Lord, that I have these stinking migraines all the time. Amen. I'm going to glory that you're putting me through, and you insert whatever you need or whatever you want to go through. Or have been, excuse me. I remember one time I used to get migraines bad. Like a couple a week. What a joy. Amen. Just being honest. And then the Lord one day just allowed me to go to somebody and allowed me to get tested and got these crazy looking glasses. They aren't prescription glasses. They're just tinted. And they make me look cool. You say, what happened after that? The migraines went away. It's just a filter that I was missing in my head. Amen. Hey, is that crazy or what? And I'd been having migraines like that every week since I was in middle school. Thank God that He allowed me to have that. And a friend of mine asked me one time, he said, why do you think it took so long for the Lord to just bring somebody by to show you that? I said, I don't know. I said, you know what I am, though? I'm real thankful now more than I would have been.
Amen.
If as a teenage punk or early 20 punk, he'd have brought somebody by, I took it for granted.
Yeah.
I said, but now, a few years removed, I'm very thankful.
Amen.
Very thankful. Amen. That I get the glory that the Lord would account me worthy to allow me to suffer just so I could be a little bit more thankful.
Amen.
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 Look in verse 6. It says, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Now, if you just took the verse right there, it says, I will say the truth. Well, John 17:17, thy word is truth, amen. But the context right there is the truth is that Paul in verse 7 says, and lest I should be exalted above measure, the Lord gave me a thorn in the flesh. Paul said, that's the truth. He gave me all this knowledge and gave me all these revelations. And I would have thought more highly of myself than I should have. And I thank God that He put something on me that I couldn't handle.
Amen.
Without His grace always being sufficient.
Amen.
You say, well, what is that? That's being a minister. Because the Lord puts you through things that people can't fathom, even yourself can't handle.
Amen.
Just so you know that He gets the glory from it. when you are able to help somebody else. He'll put you through things that you'll be able to relate to somebody else. There's a whole bunch of things I can't relate to, and I thank God for it. There's quite a few things I can, though, and I thank God for it.
Amen. That's good.
I will say that's not easy. But if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Yeah.
Amen. Everybody would be signed up. Amen. The army and the military is not always easy. I love to listen to people who made it out of war and their accounts of it. And man, the hell on earth they went through. And then I think about it, those men are, by their own accounts, usually they're lost. And I think of like, I have a hard time dealing with a handful of things. And this man, in his lost condition, has more grit and determination and stick-to-itness and has more desire to serve his country than I do to serve my Lord. It's very convicting for me. That's why I listen to him. Because it does me good. Because I'm supposed to be a soldier, amen? And these light afflictions, these small infirmities that the Lord allows me to go through. Okay. Maybe you get the glory through this one, Lord, because last one, I didn't do too good. He said, well, I got to do it. We'll try it again. Let's see. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Look in verse 14, number 4. It says, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. You know, Paul is saying, I don't want your money. And I don't want the carnal things, but I want you. You know, the spiritually minded man to be a minister wants the spiritual person to be exalted, renewed, refreshed, just like that cup of water in that race, just so they can keep running their race. You'll have to take time out of your race to ensure somebody else can finish theirs. There'll be people coming from all over the world, at least all over the U.S. in a handful of weeks. And the test will be, how willing are you to just put yourself on hold to see that somebody else can finish?
Right. Amen.
You're like, what if I give everything? What if I'm willing to pour myself out and they quit? So what? You're able to pour yourself out, but the Lord can fill you back up, and you're able to be poured out for the next guy who won't quit.
Amen.
But it's not about results. It's about you just doing right. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ... You ever think about that? The Lord Jesus Christ, if He was based on results, would He have went to the cross? I would say no. But it just pleased the Father. It'll just please the Father for you to allow yourself to be poured out and be more concerned with somebody's spiritual state than their physical state. Over there in Galatians, I have to hurry. Over there in Galatians chapter 5, you don't have to turn there. It talks about how that you bear the burdens of others. I've thought about that verse, because in a few verses later it talks about bear your own burden. There'll be burdens that the Lord allows you to bear spiritually, physically, and there'll be some things that you just have to bear on your own. You can tell somebody you're going through so they can pray for you, but there'll be some things that you just can't tell.
Yep.
Well, the Lord might not allow you. Might be because of your position. Just you'll have to endure it and go through it. But you'll never know who's praying for you.
Amen.
And they're just trying to bear those burdens with you. When those people come down here in a few weeks for the Jubilee, I keep saying that because it's right here behind me. And it's a major deal. I say that because I'm not really sure if I would have kept going without coming down here. Just being honest. Verse 15. And I will verily, gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. That's a mark of a minister. I'll give everything I can. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, to see that you make it. And even though you hate me for telling you the truth, that I'm doing so. It's okay. Even though you love me less because I'm trying my best, I still do it.
Yes.
Just because it pleases the Lord. Those silly sign-up sheets, I say that, you know, just trying to be tongue-in-cheek, that they ask us to sign up for, they're just testing our will to be a minister.
Right.
Helping people, coming in, making baskets, being here, giving up your seat, which in the South is a big thing. Giving up your seat for some person that you've never seen before, that you know nothing of, giving your time, giving your hard-earned cash to put in a basket, to put in something, to make a meal. You say, well, who's going to partake of it? I have no idea. I didn't look to see who ran the Boston Marathon in 2018. I was just trying to see who volunteered.
Amen.
What's funny is the Lord knows both lists. And as a minister, it will be, the last one will be the tough one. It will be, will you gladly spend and be spent for somebody else? Because that's the mark of a minister. The Jubilee coming up. It's a great opportunity to test you. And here's the thing. Nobody is going to be grading you in this church. It'll be all between you and the Lord. The Lord has your number. Amen, amen, and amen. I just use that because it's the nearest thing. And after that, there'll be something else for you to do. Not necessarily here, but in your own life.
Yes.
You'll have to go above and beyond what you think you're capable of doing. And just allowing the grace of God to always be sufficient. I guess the question I'll leave you with in school for your next exam is, will you? Are you willing to be a minister? It's not easy. It's not easy. It sure is worth it. I'm not even talking about the accolades and people saying thank you. Come on, it's worth it knowing the Lord's pleased.
Amen.
Amen.